Amen. All right. Wasn't that a nice song to start off the Sunday morning with, I'll Fly Away? Man, I love that song. It really just pumps me up. I'm glad to see everybody here this morning. I'll tell you what, Steve, you know, we've been living with Allison and Steve for the last month. It's been great. It's been absolutely great. We've all circulated the cold, and that's why, you know, I missed hugging everybody this morning. I love my hugs on Sunday morning and get to know everybody, and I didn't want you to get to know me that well this morning because of the cold. But first it was Allison who got sick, and then my wife got sick, and then I got sick. Now Steve has it. He's been blessed with it, so he's home this morning, so pray for him. And Paul and Sue, glad to have you back. Not under these circumstances. Paul and Sue, as you'll know, they are missionaries to Haiti, and they were all headed and packed up and ready to go and be in Haiti this week, actually. I think you were going to leave Thursday. And I guess the ride down to North Carolina really played a havoc on Sue's knee that she just had replaced it's less than 6 weeks ago, right? Something around there, somewhere in December or whatever. Yeah, they couldn't make it. They couldn't go over to Haiti. So just pray for them that she gets well, gets all healed up, and gets motivated and gets going back over to Haiti there, okay? So, but they are back with us. Glad to have you back. Can't wait to just plug you right back into ministry, you know? So glad to have you back here. Well, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 13. You'll have to excuse my voice this morning. It's a little raspy, a little rough, so we'll get through it, though. Right? Right. All right. Hey, while you're doing that, while you're turning to Proverbs chapter 13, we are going to look at verse 20, but while you're doing that, think about tomorrow. Tomorrow we're moving into our house, or at least we're going to try to anyway. If you have a little bit of time, an extra hour or so, come on over. We're going to start around 11 o'clock. That's when they're going to bring the U-Haul pods in. Come on over and use a strong back or whatever you can do. If you don't have a strong back, you can open doors for us as we're moving things in. But really would appreciate it. It's 92 Farmview Drive if you want to stop over and have a cup of coffee and chit-chat with us for a little bit, and we'll use you, okay? Appreciate it. All right, so let's read Proverbs chapter 13 in that one verse, that verse 20. It says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask that your word have its way with our hearts today, Father, that we walk out of here changed people, that we come today with the intention of being changed this morning, Father, to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, just have your way with us today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're in this series. It's called Guardrails, okay? Guardrails. And I kind of like that, you know? We started it last week, and we talked about the physical guardrails and that we don't pay much attention to them, do we? You're driving down the road. You don't say, "Oh, what a nice guardrail that is," unless you're, no, I'm not going to say it. I was going to say to put the guardrails around a car, you know, I was just thinking of something, but don't worry about that, it's just me. But anyway, we don't do it, but unless we need them. And I gave you a story last week about guardrails and my experience, and then it was amazing how many people came to me and said, "Hey, you know what, I got a guardrail story." Does everybody have a guardrail story? You know, there were a lot of people that says, "You know, I tangled with the guardrail." I've got another guardrail story if you'd like to hear it. Would you like to hear it? Huh? You would? Okay. All right. Well, this guardrail story was, I was a truck driver. And, you know, I'm your bus driver now. So you kids, you better watch it because, you know, I'm not that good at this. So anyway, you know, they always said they promoted me to a manager at UPS because they needed to get me out of the trucks. And that's true. But anyway, this one day, it was really funny. It wasn't funny. It was terrible, but I'm going to make it funny. All right. Okay, so we're leaving. Remember I told you, bobtailing a tractor. That's a tractor only. That's without your trailer, all right? You drive a tractor trailer. And when you drive a bobtail, when you drive just the tractor, when you put the brakes on, it's like you're on ice. It's because there's no weight back there, so it just lets you slide until, you know, if you have an emergency or whatever. So I was called up, and I was actually in management at this time, all right? So once in a while, they have you drive. And they said, hey, we need some trailers from Conrail, so you need to go down to the north side of Pittsburgh and pick up a trailer and bring it back. So I said, okay. So a bunch of us went down. We got into the trucks, and we went down, and I'm coming on the Fort Duquesne Bridge. Now, this is about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We're kind of in a hurry. Now, 3 o'clock in the afternoon in Pittsburgh, Friday afternoon, it's a little busy, all right? This is on Fort Duquesne Bridge, and there's about 5 rows of traffic. So I come down on the bridge, I'm doing okay, and there's oncoming traffic here, and all of a sudden, my tractor, boom, hits the guardrails. It actually goes, now, Fort Duquesne Bridge, now this was back when Three River Stadium was there, okay? Now, Three River Stadium, below the bridge is a parking lot about 2,000 feet down, all right? You fall off that bridge, there is no getting you to recover. No amount of, you know, is going to bring you back to life. So anyway, I hit this guardrail, and I'm going down, and I'm sliding down the guardrail, and I'm envisioning, you know, because the tires on the tractor trailer are just as big as the guardrails. And I'm thinking, I'm going to hit something, and it's going to throw me over top the bridge. I'm in a panic situation. My foot's on the brake, and I'm sliding. And I'm going, oh, no. Now, I'm going to push pause there for a second, because I didn't just do that. What happened was there was a little car. And when it all came down to it, this little lady that just bought this car said a wind gust hit her, and she hit my steering tire. When she hit my steering tire, it threw my tractor into the guardrail. Now remember, I'm sliding at about 55 mile an hour down this guardrail. She comes around, and head on, her door was ripped off. There she is, sitting like this, looking like this, with a Big Mac truck coming right at her. And I'm thinking, she's going to die, and then I'm going to jump the guardrail once I hit her, because I'm coming. I'm coming. By the grace of God, she bounces off the guardrail, goes backwards across 4 or 5 lanes of traffic, never gets a scratch, bangs up against the guardrail on the other side. I come to a stop, and I said, holy cow. No, I didn't. It was probably something I can't say with the microphone in the church, okay? But holy cow. Man, I looked down there, and you know, thank God for the guardrails. Thank God that his hand pushed her across there and guided her. She was unscratched. I was unscratched. There was only a minor damage to my car. Her car was a mess. Her car, they had to tow out of there and take it to the junkyard. But man, I'll tell you what, guardrails. If that guardrail hadn't been there, if there was just a yellow line painted there, what would have happened? I'd have been down in the parking lot and got probably the best spot in there. In the parking lot, right? I wouldn't even have had to pay for it. But we have to put guardrails in our lives. Where if you bump up against it, it's going to cause you a little bit of pain, right? But it's going to spark your conscience to say, hey, something going on here. Just like we talked about last week, Paul said, don't get drunk with wine, right? Now, he didn't say don't drink. He says don't get drunk with wine. Now, I don't advocate drinking. You know I don't. I don't drink. But he says, don't get drunk with wine. There's a guardrail there. Because if you get drunk with wine, something else is going to happen. Because the wine is going to then take control of your thoughts and your spirit. And it's going to make you do things that you don't want to do, right? And that's why he's saying, don't get drunk with wine. That should be the guardrail. You get drunk with wine, it's like, whoa, man, you're going to cause some damage, but you're not going to go beyond that. So don't get drunk, period. Don't drink, whatever, okay? So remember, I'm not advocating drinking out here. Don't get all that thing. But anyway, so we talked about that last week, and I really like that, those guardrails that we put in our lives. I want to give you a definition here, definition of guardrails, all right? A guardrail is a system, all right? It's a system that you put in place. It's a system designed to keep your vehicles from straying into dangerous or off-limit areas, okay? They are designed to take the impact. So when I was coming down there and when that lady hit that guardrail or whatever, it took the impact. It took my impact. It prevented me from going over to a dangerous area. Now you have to remember something about guardrails. Guardrails are on real estate that you can actually drive on, right? I mean, if you take all the guardrails out of the highway, could you not drive right where the guardrail was? Of course you could. Because they don't put it in the most dangerous part. They don't put it over the hill. Or they don't put, well, we were just kidding. We put a yellow line here on the edge of the bridge. And then just beyond the edge of the bridge, there's a guardrail there. Now, you may fall off the bridge before you hit the guardrail. No, the idea is to put it someplace where you can actually drive, right? So when you hit it, it causes you some pain. It causes something that's going to say, hey, listen, wake up, buddy. Don't go there. You need this guardrail. You really do. Now, we're going to be talking about guardrails in different aspects of our lives this next few weeks, okay? Today, we're going to talk about friends and things like that, where we need to set our guardrails up. So, they are designated to take the impact, but in most cases, there will be a lot less damage on your car and on your body than if you would have gone to the other side. So you are most likely to find guardrails in potentially dangerous areas like bridges and dangerous curves and things. And the whole idea, again, of guardrails is to create that small accident to protect you from getting into a worse accident. And guardrails are not placed, like I said, in the dangerous areas. No. So family, last week we asked, what would it look like to have guardrails in other arenas, like your relationships? How would it look to have a guardrail in one of your in your relationships, your marriage and whatever, or your finances? What does it look like to have, when you bump up against that in your finances, that it throws up a red flag and says, hey, you got a problem here. Don't do that. Don't do that. Come back. How about in your dating relationships? Something that you're not going to want to regret. That dating relationship, and you bump up against that guardrail, and it's like, phew, that's a problem. I better watch. You know, it might cause a little bit of pain, or your business, or your ethics, or your reputation. Guardrails that are so strong and established that when you bump up against them, they may cause a little pain and spark our conscience. So, you know, I don't know whether I said this or not, but the Holy Spirit speaks to us, right? In a still, small voice, okay? But guess what he uses as his megaphone? Your conscience. He says, hey, wait a minute. You got a problem here, right? He uses it. You know, when somebody says, well, my conscience was bothering me. Well, you better listen to it. Because that's the Holy Spirit probably saying, hey, you know what? This isn't the right thing to do. So, some of our greatest regrets in life, think about it. Think about some of your greatest regrets that you look back on and say, man, I wish I hadn't. I wish I hadn't done that. Some of your greatest regrets. Some of your greatest regrets could have been avoided if you'd have had some personal guardrails. So we came up with a definition for this morning, okay? A guardrail is going to be a standard of behavior. A standard of behavior. or you could say a personal standard of behavior that is a matter of conscience. So today, I want to talk specifically about your friends, your associates, your playmates, your posse, your amigos, right? Hey, amigos, buddies, whatever you want to call them. You know what? When we were kids, our parents were frantic about some of the people that we would hang out with. Right? Some of you when you were kids. Now, you as parents are frantic about some of the people that you hang out, that your kids are hanging out with, right? I don't want my kid hanging out with them. As a matter of fact, you may have switched schools. We did. It's my sister right there. She can verify it. We went from one school area to another school area, and I can remember my dad saying, I've got to get you out of this school district so that we can go to this school because I don't want my kids over here because they're a bad influence. To get you away from some of the friends that you're hanging out with, we moved all the way across town. We did we not? We switched schools. Sometimes people pay for private schools to get them out of other school systems. They wouldn't let you play at so-and-so's house. Don't let me catch you down there. Don't let me catch you with so-and-so. I can remember that. Can you? Can you remember, hey, don't you hang out with so-and-so because they're bad influence and you'll catch him. So they moved. They did all kind of stuff. They would have gone as far as arranging our very marriages if they could. And I know some of you out there would do the same for your daughters and for your sons. I'm going to arrange your marriage. You are not going to marry this person that you're with right now. There is absolutely no way. And we're going to sign a contract right now. Right? Most of you would. And that all sounds ridiculous. Now, we are all parents. And we grew up in that. And things are actually worse because now we have electronic surveillance. Okay? You know, you can actually, on your iPad, you can have a camera in each one of your rooms and you can watch while you're at work. Okay, I see you checking in, right? Right on your iPad, it'll show you. And then, what about Facebook? And don't lie. How many moms are checking out Facebook? And you should. You should. You should check out, see what son and daughter are talking about on Facebook and who they're hanging with on Facebook and conversing with on Facebook, right? Yeah, I know you do. I know you do. I check it out all the time, and I know what you guys are talking about. And then how about reading their texts? Anybody, mom and dad? Now, you don't have to raise your hand because I know some of you have their kids right beside you. Now, listen, you need to check out their texts, you know? Well, who are they talking to and what are they saying? You know, I know you're doing it. I know you're over there. You're with me. We know how many minutes they use on their phone, and why do we do this? Why do we do and go through all these exercises? We know, like your parents knew, that your kids' friends can determine the direction. Now listen to this. They can determine the direction and quality of your kids' life. That's it, right there in the nutshell. Take nothing else from this today. They can control where your kids go and what the quality of their life will be. The things that make friendships wonderful are the very things that make them dangerous. We drop our guards, right? We crave acceptance. We're like everybody else. We want to be accepted. We don't want to go against the grain. It's just our nature. There are times that I do the same thing. When I golf with some of my buddies, I think, man, why am I just standing here? I shouldn't be involved in some of the conversation that's in here. I'm not. I'm kind of standing on the sidelines. And things are going to be different because, you know, before I preach it to you, he always preaches it to me. So I'm learning too, okay? So I'm going to make some changes in my life for sure. After going through this, I'm definitely going to make some changes in my life. But anyway, we crave acceptance. Let me ask you, did anyone, any of you that started smoking, now I smoked, did anyone start smoking alone? Think about it. You know when I started smoking? I was a skate guard down at the North Pole Ice Skating Rink. Anybody remember the North Pole Ice Skating Rink? Yeah, it was a great time. I was a skate guard. So I would go out, and there was a buddy. He was a great skater. He was so much better than me, and I admired him, and I wanted to be his buddy. So he came over one time, and he's sitting there, and he's smoking a cigarette. And I said, now remember, I was an athlete in high school, in junior high, and I started when I was 13 years old smoking. And I was number one on the track team, and I was played first string football every squad, and I was good. Now, if my shoulder wasn't sore, I could get even further. I said, let me have that. Took a drag of this cigarette, and I just thought I just gonna cough up my lungs. I mean, it was terrible. It was like, give me another swig. And from that point on, I was a smoker. I smoked for 14 years after that, 2.5 packs a day. And it wasn't by the only for the grace of God that I was able to quit. But I didn't do that alone. I wasn't over there secretly smoking and saying, ooh, I really like this. No, I didn't. I didn't. A lot of addictive behaviors begin in a crowd. Your greatest regret or regrets, were you with a friend or with an enemy? Think about it. Were you with a friend or were you with an enemy? It's a shame what happens to our young people who leave to college. You know, the statistics show that like 70-80%, you're in high school, you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you're coming to church, you're buying all the CDs, and you're listening to Christian music. You get out into college, and what happens? About 70-80% don't believe anymore when they get out of college. They forsake God. They forsake going to church. They forsake everything. They just walk away because of friends. Then you start doing things that they do, and at one point that you would even consider that what they were doing sin, and now it doesn't seem to be so bad. And why is that? Because your friends will influence you, the direction and quality of your life. Now, this can work both ways, too. A lot of times when I talk to people about their salvation, they will tell me about a friend's influence in a positive way. Now, I love that. And that's the way us Christians should be. We should influence others to be Christians, to accept Jesus Christ. I mean, a friend of mine from work led me to know Jesus Christ, Lord over my life. So there are those positive things. Family, your friends will influence you, influence the direction and quality of your life, not because you decide to let them, but it's the nature of friendship. And here's what Solomon says and puts it this way in verse 20 of chapter 13. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, this scripture contains a promise and a warning. The promise, you become wise by doing life with the wise. Right? You do life with the wise, you're going to be wise. It's contagious. Wisdom rubs off. Walk with means doing life with. Now, I want to tell you something. Wise people understand that life is connected, and they live and act accordingly. okay? That life is connected. Follow me. Follow me with this one. That life is connected. That today's decisions are connected to tomorrow's outcomes. Anybody believe that? Today's financial decisions will be tomorrow's outcome. I make bad decisions today, my outcome tomorrow is going to be bad. If I make a choice to eat a big fat chocolate cake today, my outcome is tomorrow I'm going to be a little heavier, right? My sugar is going to be higher. I'm going to be a little fatter. I'm already fat. I can't afford it anymore. I'm going to start making right decisions because I know now that whatever I do is going to affect my tomorrow, no matter what that decision is. It's going to affect it. So make some good decisions, right? Right. So, all of life is connected. A wise person does not make decisions based simply on today, but on tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that and the day after that. Scripture tells or teaches us that wisdom is contagious. That when you are with people who live life as it were connected, that will impact the way you view the world. Now, the way you make your decisions, the way you view your body, your health, your morality, your business, your reputation, your family, everything. But here's the warning. You run the risk of something bad happening to you if you run with fools. All right? So the good side, man, that was awesome. Make good decisions, hang with good people, right? Hang out with wise people. The bad side is that if you run with fools, there is some deception. There is a warning. I tell myself, since I am not really like them, since I'm not as bad, do you ever say that? I'm hanging with these guys, I'm really not that bad. I'm not that wild, or whatever it is. I'll be all right. You know you shouldn't be hanging around with them, but I'll be okay because I'm not doing what they're doing. Anybody like that? Don't raise your hand, because I know we're all like that. We think that we can be better than, because we, after all, I'm a Christian. I can be better than that. I'll be all right. The warning is not the companion of fools become a fool. It's the shrapnel of their lives that will injure you. The devastation that will occur in their lives will impact you whether you ever adopt their ways of thinking or not. Now here's, I've got a story, and I asked my daughter if it was okay to tell her this. When she was growing up, she was probably 12 or 13 years old, and she was hanging around with some kids that we didn't, of course, mom and dad says, don't hang around with, because they're gonna influence you and you're gonna get in trouble, okay? She didn't listen. And she went one afternoon, and a little later on, the police come to my door. And these kids got in trouble. Thank God one of them said Lee didn't have anything to do with it. But the shrapnel was there. Their relationship, the two boys and my daughter, went and they did something that they shouldn't have done, that my daughter knew was wrong, and she didn't take part in it. However, she was with them. Anybody ever hear guilty by association? There you are. I see some laughs here. Guilty by association. You want to make sure that you're not there. You're not there with them. And like I said, thank God that the one boy said, you know what, Lee really never had anything to do with that. She was just there. So fortunately, we were able to get her out of that. But the shrapnel, family, a lot of times we will defend an unhealthy friendship by saying, I won't think that way, I won't do what they do, I never participate in the things they do, I'm safe. Solomon says you're wrong. You're wrong. Because the companion of fools, whether they ever adopt the lifestyle or the mindset of the fool or not, will eventually be harmed by the outcome of the fool's behavior. A fool in Proverbs is someone who knows right from wrong but doesn't care. That's a fool. He lives as if life isn't connected. Today is today and tomorrow is tomorrow. It doesn't make any difference what I do. So today when we go to lunch, I'm going to go ahead and eat a big fat piece of chocolate cake because I can adopt that, right? No, I can't. Tomorrow I'll wake up and I'm going to hate the fact that I ate that big fat chocolate cake. So you may say to them, can't you see where that's taking you? Haven't you seen what has happened to other people who have done the same thing? Do you think they won't find out? When you warn a fool, he doesn't say, oh, what? Thank you so much for that. You really helped me out. No. He's not going to thank you for the warning. He just doesn't care. So family, the warning has to do with proximity, right? When they eventually go down, and they will go down, you go down with them. Wrong place, wrong time. Friends who are not careful with their lives will not be careful with your life. Do you think that friends who don't care for themselves, do you think they're going to care about you? Think about one thing. Like if somebody's a gossip and they come to you and they say, so-and-so, did you hear about so-and-so? And they're coming to you. What do you think when you say to them where they're going to take that? Or if somebody comes and they tell you all this dirty stuff about their life, when they're with somebody else, what do you think they're talking about? They're talking about all the dirty stuff in your life, right? So if they don't care about themselves, they certainly aren't going to care about you. Is that right? Well, friends who don't take care of their marriage won't take care of yours. Friends who are irresponsible with their finances will be irresponsible with yours. Friends who don't mind abusing their bodies won't mind seeing you abuse yours. Friends who cheat will feel better about themselves if you cheat too. Friends who break the law won't confront you about breaking the law. Family, friends can be dangerous, and danger requires guardrails. You need to establish a standard that informs your conscience. When you start veering, lights go on. Your conscience should light up when it does. And when it does, it dawns on you that your core group isn't moving in the direction you want your life to be moving. Where people are heading is a good indication of where they are leading you. When you catch yourself pretending to be someone other than who you really are, when someone tells you that you act differently around them, when you feel pressure to compromise, sometimes or something that has never been a real temptation becomes a live option. Friends value what is valuable to you. When you hear yourself saying, I'll go, but I won't participate. When you hope the people you care about most don't find out where you've been or who you've been with. Those are the guardrail places. That's bumping up against the guardrail. That's a danger zone. That should say, boom, red flags, here I am. Don't do this. Don't be with this person because it's going to be no good. And when they explode, I am going to take the shrapnel. Good example of shrapnel, and then we're going to close here in a moment. My dad had a piece of shrapnel. A bomb went off when he was in World War II over in northern Africa and Italy. A bomb went off. He was near it, and he had a piece of shrapnel in his arm, big scar and everything. He suffered for that all his life. All his life. Let me tell you something. You get a piece of shrapnel in you from one of your friends, you are going to suffer for it for the rest of your life. It will always haunt you. It will always bother you. You will always have regrets. Always. Don't confuse guardrails with a lack of concern or love. Oh, well, you don't love this person. You're not concerned for this person. Yes, I am. One day, those same people may need you. So you need to be in a position that you can help them. Okay? If you're in there with them doing the same things, do you think they're going to come to you in their darkest hour? Absolutely not, because you're the same as they are. But if you stay at the distance and you stay within those guardrails, and somebody, and I'll tell you what, most of you right here know that this is true, that when somebody has a problem, who are the first persons they come to? Do they go to their friends or do they go to their Christian friends? When they're having problems in their marriage, do they go to their Christian friends? Yes, they're right there. They need your help. But if you're in the gutter with them, you can't help them. You'd like to, but you can't, and they're not coming to you. You've got to make sure that you are out of there. Now, you have to create a margin. Creating margin in a relationship or a friendship is very painful. Family, while I was talking to you, someone has come to your mind. I know. There's a picture in your mind. And I know that you're saying, yeah, you know what? I got to distance myself from this person. I have to. I've got to put a margin in there. I've got to put a guardrail in there. If you could push a button and immediately be disentangled with no complications, would you push that button? Would you be disassociated with the person? You've got that person in mind, okay? That person that's dangerous to you. If you could say, okay, you know those little Staples buttons? That was easy. Okay, if you could push a that was easy button, and all of a sudden your relationship is kind of severed and there's that margin in there, would you do that? Would you push the button, face up to God's will for you, and step back? Because a year from now, you might wish you could come back to today and act on what you've heard. So why not pretend that today is your second chance and move back behind the guardrail, okay? Move back behind the guardrail. Today is your second chance. Don't wait for a year from now and say, oh, I wish when Pastor Joe talked about guardrails that I'd have separated myself, that I'd have moved away from that person, because here I am. Last year's consequences, last year's thing that I did, I regret today. So let's back up. Let's push the rewind button. Now you're here today and you say, I'm going to sever that relationship, and I'm going to be there for that person when they fall, and there will be no regrets. Be intentional about walking with the wise. Be intentional about walking with the wise, because the companion of fools eventually suffers harm. Everybody stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. You know that you have relationships, that your children have relationships, that whatever it is you need to get out of, you need to back out of, you need to put guardrails up so that when you get to a point that you're going to run off the road, that these guardrails hit you just enough to cause you a little bit of pain, that spark your conscience and say, and the Holy Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and say, hey, look, you got to come back. You got to do this. You got to get away from this person, because when they explode, you're going with them. I know you know. So why don't you do something about it? Why don't you just sever that relationship and just be done with it? So, I know it's hard, it's painful, lots of tears will go along with that, but I pray for you that God can, and God, I know God can give you the strength. So, I'm going to open the altar up. You need to come down and pray. If God has spoken to you, your heart this morning about anything, it doesn't have to be about the message, whatever. If God has spoken to you this morning, even about I'll fly away. You know, you come back up here and you just lay your thoughts and your worries at the altar. If it's something that was said this morning or whatever, come on down and just say, God, you know what? I do have friends. that I need to distance myself with. I still want to love them. I still want to be for them, to help them, and I still want to be compassionate and loving. But God, show me a way that I can have an out. Give me that out, God. Show me. Won't you pray that? Just come on down if you've been coming to church here for quite some time and you decide that this is the place you want to be and you love it here. So come on down and just let me know that that's your decision, that you want to join the church for membership or whatever the decision might be. Just come on down while Pastor Ron plays a verse of invitation.
Love the Father gave, only love could make a way. All for love the heavens cried, for love was crucified. Oh, how many times have I broken your heart? Still you forgive, if only I ask. And how many times have you heard me pray? Draw near to me. Everything I need is you, my beginning, my forever. And everything I need is you.
Dear gracious God, everything we need is you, Father. God, help us be good friends. Help us be influential friends. And God, help us to separate ourselves and put up guardrails when it comes to friendships, Lord. God, we love you, and may we leave here changed, a little more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.